All right. Carla, we have regular agenda. Can you please read the title for non-emergency ordinance, for emergency ordinance, item number 1235, emergency ordinance.
Adopt budget adjustment recommendations and the supplemental budget for the fiscal year 2011-12 fall supplemental budget process and make budget adjustments in various funds.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Andrew, how are you?
I'm fine, how are you?
Good.
I'm Andrew Scott, Financial Planning Manager. Today we're here to consider the fall bump. I'll remind you we had a work session on this on November 1st, so I won't go into a lot of detail since we covered most of the detail there. Changes from that work session that Council had discussed that are included in this bump that was filed. There's a new number for the Bureau of Development Services Distressed Property Enforcement Program, and that number is $271,736 out of General Fund Contingency. And Parks Operations and Maintenance was also added into the bump at $96,932. Those were the only general fund changes. Just to give a quick summary then of where we ended up in terms of general fund contingency, that was a discussion during the work session. We started this fiscal year with $1.4 million in unrestricted general fund contingency. Our ending balance from last year and then certain recovery actions that we're taking in this bump are adding about $375,000 to that contingency. The bump actions in total cost about $1.1 million. And so the net reduction to contingency, well, the contingency after all the actions take place will be about $695,406 for the rest of the year. I'm sorry. The net reduction in contingency is $695,000. The new available contingency total will be $638,972. The other thing that the bump does is two budget notes. Council is accepting the report and recommendations of the CIP Review Task Force. Again, we talked about that at the work session. And then the second budget note, Council accepting the update on the sustainment planning for various public safety revitalization projects. That's exhibit number 6. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
All right, let's take public testimony, and there might be questions afterwards. According to Oregon State Budget Law, Oregon Revised Statutes 294.480, I open a hearing on the fiscal year 2011-2012 fall supplemental budget. Is there any member of the public who wishes to testify?
We had one person sign up, Mike O'Callaghan.
Mr. O'Callaghan, welcome back.
Thank you.
My name is Michael O'Callaghan, and my question is there anything in that supplemental budget to create a place where those 7,000 people that are living without shelter can have shelter?
In the city's budget, yeah, there's millions.
There's millions?
Mm-hmm.
I see 5,000 to 7,000 people out on the street almost every night, and you are telling me there's millions that's going to solve this problem? I don't believe you.
I didn't think you would.
Well, I think that you're, I would like to see the numbers that you're talking about.
Last week, the city council reviewed just in one funding stream alone an investment in homeless and affordable housing services of,
I think annually, Mayor, we have about a $13.5 million budget for homelessness and homeless services, of which about two-thirds of that is local dollars. And, Michael, I'd be happy to get you the breakdowns.
Well, I think we have a language problem here. You're referring to homeless. I'm referring to shelterless.
Our
very different standard.
Our homeless services includes our emergency shelters, our winter shelters, our outreach workers, and others. And that's separate from our rental housing production.
Certainly, it should be. But I see people come by our place every day seeking shelter, and our place is full. We have 70 people. We need at least 10 more of these. People are on the street. People are getting soaking wet. I have communicated this to this council innumerable times. I get absolutely no response from any of you, and I consider you to be extremely disrespectful to the people that are sleeping outside. And Dan Saltzman, your Bureau of Building is trying to run us off of our lot and dislodge 70 people who are living down there in peaceful harmony. I find that repugnant to human dignity.
Thanks for your testimony.
In addition, Sam, yep. I noticed that the three testimonies that were given here under persons to be heard went over 3 minutes, and you failed to interrupt any one of them. You have interrupted me any time I go over 3 minutes, and I have seen in this chamber applause multiple times, but you refuse the audience to do applause when you wish to. I find that arbitrary and capricious, but thank you for your time. I appreciate that.
I'm happy to give you more time.
All I'm speaking about is the prior times when I've come before this council and spoken, and you have stopped me at 3 minutes every time. That's what I'm talking about. Thank you.
Just so, thank you. It depends on the agenda and the day and how many people have signed up, and that's the judgment I have to use in managing this room. So all right.
I did have a question. I see Bureau of Transportation folks here. Could you come to the table?
Welcome back out of retirement. We're glad you're here. John Ritz, Financial Director.
Interim
financial director.
Let me make that real clear. Interim. For the record, John Rist, interim finance director for Bureau of Transportation.
So my question concerns the decision package where the Transportation Department is taking vacancies and program budgets equal to about $600,000 and redistributing that for certain projects. And the one that I'm curious about is the bike share study, because I know we had a lot of discussion when we awarded the $2 million in federal money for the capital of the bike share. And we're going to have there was quite a discussion about no city general transportation revenues or general fund going to subsidize operations of the bike share program.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious, there's a statement that says the bike share program will provide staff support for issuing the RFP and assisting with the startup of a bike sharing program. So it goes on to say the staff assistants will complete the RFP process, identify and evaluate potential locations, and provide for ongoing management of the system. So I guess ongoing management of the system, to me, sounds like we're using very precious general transportation revenues, which, you know, underscored by this morning's public testimony, with the bike share program. And I thought we had an explicit discussion there would be no ongoing gas general transportation revenue or general fund for the bike share program, that we would provide the capital only.
Thank you, Commissioner. For the record, Tom Miller, Director of the Bureau of Transportation. We appreciate the chance to clarify that particular choice of words. You're absolutely right. There will be no ongoing operating support from Bureau resources for bike share. We're crystal clear about that. We're clear about council direction, and the choice of words needs attention. Again, we appreciate you flagging this and want to reassure you that there will be no ongoing operating support.
So are we using this money to create a position? Is this a person that's going to do
No, that? The $100,000 is in play. We're requesting $100,000 in the current fiscal year on a one-time basis to simply launch the program, get the RFP written, get it out the door to secure the private partnership necessary to advance the program, and that's it. One time.
So it's not ongoing?
Not ongoing.
Am I allowed to strike the words ongoing from this?
Absolutely. No qualms with that at all.
I would move to strike the words ongoing.
Happy to.
Second.
Well, I have it. It's transportation decision package number 2.
Okay.
TR-018.
It's been moved and seconded. Any other discussion? Carla, can you please call the vote on the motion?
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. So approved.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A further question on that, though. I didn't remember that there was a local match required in the allocation of that money from the federal government in that project. So why are we not using the federal transportation dollars to do that $100,000 RFP?
Commissioner, I'm not sure I understand your question, but what I know is that council has approved a recommendation that ultimately Metro will consider, and of course we hope approve, for $2 million in federal money to launch the program. That is our local match, if you will. It's federal money, but we're using that as local match to seed the private sector partnership.
I think let me try to clarify. So that's a certain amount of money. Now we're going to do an RFQ for private money. The private money provides the match to the federal money.
Thank you. That's helpful. So when we get the federal money from Metro, will that $100,000 go back into the transportation budget for other uses?
We hope that, first of all, I should say that we hope that we don't need to use $100,000 in total. We hope that we can spend something less than that. Frankly, I think the $100,000 is a conservative number, conservative in terms of magnitude of need. I hope that we can spend something less than that for the reasons that Commissioner Saltzman cited and, based on what you heard from our labor friends this morning. The $100,000 is the intended allocation for staff resources needed today to, again, write the RFP, to launch the program, and so forth. So anything less than $100,000 would go back to general transportation resources.
Okay, but you're not hiring anybody to do this.
No.
So why do you need $100,000? Don't you have the people who are there working anyway?
We do have the people, and I could name the names. They're existing staff, but we don't have their time is not it, all of their time is budgeted against a particular project, and this is a project that needs a cost center, if you will, right?
So we build most of the bureaus I have, the bigger bureaus, you build your employees' time to a particular project, and they work. One person can work on one to a dozen projects, and so they keep track of their hours, and that's how they get paid. That's how we keep track of. That's how I think law requires us.
Right. There's a cost center, and so, Dan Bauer, in this case, he's my lead project manager. He will allocate the portion of his time that he spends working on bike share will be allocated to this particular cost center.
So what cost center is going to be credited with his time that he won't be spending on something else?
Well, he just has a...
Not the way it works.
He has a portfolio of projects that he works on, so it'll
right, be... but he's on salary.
Correct.
On staff.
We still have to...
I don't understand why it takes an extra $100,000, why it's not just reallocated from the projects that he otherwise would have been working on.
Well,
We're not using other projects to subsidize his time on this project. Is that answering the question?
Not really, because then what he's already was planning to bill time to other projects. What are those other projects that now will have more money available to do something else?
We'll have to get back to you on that.
I personally don't know. Yeah. What other projects he's currently working on. I personally don't know that.
And then returning to my previous line of questions, once we get the federal money, will that $100,000 or whatever it is that his time is spent on go back into those other projects? Will we get that? Will that be deducted from the $2 million that's allocated for the bike rental as a cost
yes.
that's already been incurred?
Once we get the federal money, and we get the match, and this is why there's an amount of money, because this is going to take us a while to both get the match, go out there and raise the money, and do the RFP. So this is startup. This is basically startup funds in order for us to qualify for actually getting the check from the federal government. We basically have to go generate interest and then hopefully have competition for interest to want to partner with us. And the partnership money, the private money or nonprofit money, is what we use to fulfill the federal match. If you're the bureau director, you can also view it the way Director Miller does. But this is sort of allows us the headroom and somewhere to startup money to qualify, to make sure that we don't just get the authorization, but we actually get the qualification for the federal match. And that's going to take a lot of resources and fundraising and otherwise, and then run a competitive process.
Thank you. This is helpful. So when we get the $2 million from the federal government, that this money, the startup money, the $100,000, will that go back to the general fund or will it go to the transportation fund?
It stays. So
or are
this
we
is,
actually investing general fund money in order to get
it's
that?
It's not general fund dollars, Commissioner.
General tax
It's general transportation dollars.
Okay.
Yes. This is a very.
And just like. I'm sorry.
It's a similar conceptual approach how we've been successful thus far in clean energy works, where we put in some. In that case, ERA money that could have been spent on a variety of things to do the staff work to then position ourselves to do everything else.
And this is a piece of the full bump where we're moving from buckets within transportation.
Right.
Got it. Thank you very much. That's very helpful, and I appreciate your patience.
I appreciate the conversation.
I have one more issue, and I raised this at the work session. It's not a transportation issue, though, so I appreciate it. I raised this at the work session. I haven't had any other conversations, but I just want to try again. And this is on the pilot project for having cameras in police cars, which we're allocating $165,188 for a 10-vehicle pilot. I appreciate the mayor's commitment to fulfilling his promise to do this. And I certainly think that government should keep their promises. This extenuating circumstances when sometimes we can't or shouldn't do things in the timeline that we previously promised. And spending $165,000 on a pilot project for equipment now, when we don't know how we're going to be able to fund the buying equipment for all the cars should this pilot prove successful, doesn't seem prudent to me. Because this is a technology. This is not going to jobs, and this is not going to increase public safety. This is a project to buy cameras to pilot. If we can't fund the full rollout of those cameras within the next year or so, we all know that technology changes a lot, and it's likely that there will be new cameras on the market in a couple of years that might be even better, or even that the ones we pilot now might be obsolete. So I question why we are spending precious general fund resources on a one-time expenditure on equipment rather than saving that and putting it towards our deficit for next year and funding police officer positions?
Fair question. My belief is that, the cameras are going to be focused on those officers, not exclusively, but focused on those officers that have a job responsibility, job focus around traffic enforcement. And we have had, and this has been on the community's request list for 4 years, 5 years. It speaks directly to, and might not be evident because we maybe need to describe it better, but this speaks directly to issues and concerns around equity of traffic stops and profiling and he said, she said, kind of stuff that happens. It will allow for not just the capture of video, it'll allow for, with the equipment, the capture of the conversations that happens at the side of the car. It's pilot in the sense that if it proves to be effective, we would do more. I think there is cost savings here in terms of things through IPR, complaints, service bureau complaints, or worse. But it's not the kind of cost efficiency that we're going to be able to capture and apply somewhere else. And I totally get that point. But this speaks to some pretty core issues that I, and reasonable people can disagree, but I think is pretty important.
So I want to make sure we clarify one technical aspect of the argument Commissioner Fritz made. It is not prudent nor sound fiscal policy to use one-time dollars to hire police officers that are an ongoing responsibility. So this cannot be characterized as either we use it for this project or we hire police officers, because one-time dollars expire at the end of the fiscal year, and then you have police officers that you've hired that have to be laid off.
Well, actually, to speak to that question, we did hire a new position for the second graffiti position, which was with one-time dollars and is still in the one-time ongoing special appropriations.
Do you know how we're going to fund that next year?
No, we don't. That's my point.
That's my point.
So that we should be saving this $165,000 so that we have that money to fund it, that position, for one more year if we have a choice of one or the other. And the fact of the matter is we don't have as much money as we need for all of the things we want to buy next year.
But if we... But it, part of the reason that it's a pilot, and I appreciate the discussion, is if we see on the cars that have video, fewer complaints, we know that's saving money. If we see fewer lawsuits filed, if we see, you know, and all that goes with that, we're not going to be able to take those savings from the rest of the system and apply it somewhere, but those are real savings in the system.
I totally agree with the merits of what you want to do and the principles
and it's
for
on,
doing it.
Because it's on technology, it is the most, according to our policy, closest to our policy is you spend one-time resources on things that have lasting value. So that it's not like this will have lasting value. I think the life cycle of this is 4 or 5 years.
I'm concerned that we're piloting something on technology when technology changes so rapidly that that particular model may not be the one that we that's available when we have the money to roll it out for all the offices in Quebec.
Fair enough, but at what point do we decide that it is? Because that argument was also used, not by you, but that argument was also used by previous leaders in the Bureau in the past. So at what point do we sort of kick and say, you know, and say this is the point we're comfortable with the technology?
It's not so much the being comfortable with the technology, it's being comfortable that we're going to be able to buy all of the cameras we need within the next 5 years. My reading of the projection for the next 5 years is that we don't know how soon we're going to be climbing out of the recession.
Maybe the best way to handle this is if you would make a motion to strike, and then we'll see if they're where the council is. And I think we've aired out the discussion rather well. Would you like to move?
You've read my mind. I move that we remove the $165,188 for the vehicle pilot of the police cameras.
Is there a second? Motion fails.
Thank you.
Fair enough. That's democracy. Other discussion? All right. Carla, would you please call the vote?
Leonard?
Aye.
Aired it out nicely.
Fritz?
With that vote having put on the record my objection to that particular item, I will support this emergency ordinance. I am concerned that we're spending a large proportion of our contingency, and I'm very concerned about next year's budget, as I know we all are. And so this is the beginning of an extended conversation. Mayor, I greatly appreciate your willingness to air that out in the discussion. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Thanks, everybody, for their hard work.
Aye.
Adams.
Thank you, everybody, for your hard work and for the council engagement as well, and also the Citizens Budget Committee. We appreciate all of that. I do want to note that the cuts to the Bureau of Transportation, due to the fact that the forecasted revenues from the state are not coming through, is very serious. It's serious because we have made commitments to things like the Selwood Bridge that we will and need to fulfill. But that compresses, and other things can compress, other parts of the budget. So the current project list for the Bureau of Transportation was based on the forecasted revenues, which were the state had made forecasts that I thought were pretty dour to begin with. But the recession has stretched on, and therefore general transportation revenues from the state are down, and therefore we have to cut. And they're very difficult cuts, so I want to thank the Director Miller and the PBOT team for being creative in trying to approach this. I want to reiterate that I said in this council chambers at a work session that the $16 million over 2 years, I described it in the annual amount of $1 million this year for sidewalks in East Portland and Southwest Portland, that would not be cut. That we did not feel there was adequate agreement in Southwest for what to spend the money on. The number one item on their list that was submitted to us by some of the committees was Capitol Highway, which would have consumed the entire $8 million. We felt sufficient agreement in Southwest to just go forward with all $8 million on Capitol Highway. And so we missed the construction deadline. And that money then gets moved to the next fiscal year. But I said repeatedly to them personally when I met with them and during our budget work session that money is being saved, protected. It will not be cut. I don't know how else to say it. For those of you that remember some of the more controversial negotiations with Multnomah County, that came from tough negotiations, that $60 million savings came from tough negotiations on getting savings on the Selwood Bridge. So I just wanted to connect a few dots before I voted as it relates to transportation. These are very serious cuts, but there are certain things we are protecting. All right. Thank you very much for your work. Really appreciate it. That gets us to 1237. Can you please read the title and call the vote?
Amend the tax increment financing set aside for affordable housing policy to ensure continued development, preservation, and rehabilitation of housing affordable to households with incomes below 100% median family income.
Commissioner Nick Fish.
Oh, this is second.
Sorry. Carla.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Congratulations, Commissioner Fish.
Housing.
Thanks to the Advisory Committee and the Housing Bureau, as well as Commissioner Fish, for the diligent work on this very complex issue. I do understand the concerns raised by the League of Women Voters. I think that the details of the proposal adequately address those concerns, at least as far as I'm concerned. These percentages are set unless later changed by council, and they're refined for each urban renewal district. I particularly appreciate that the Central East Side recognizes that a significant portion of this area is zoned industrial, limiting the affordable housing opportunities, and I remain very committed to the Central East Side remaining an industrial sanctuary. And the remainder of the urban renewal areas have specific targets based on historic spending and opportunities available, being very respectful of the local community's concerns regarding the kinds of affordable housing assistance. So thank you very much, Commissioner Fish. Aye.
Fish.
In 2006, prior to my service on this council, the housing advocates worked with then City Commissioners Leonard and Adams and others to craft a 30% set-aside. And in this particular issue, I'm reminded of what Commissioner Leonard often says when we talk about light rail or other things, where he takes us back historically and says, you know, once upon a time, these were very controversial issues that people had a wide range of views on. And today the 30% set-aside is no longer controversial because it's been successful. In the first 5 years under this program, we've invested $152 million in affordable homes for people throughout our community. And in the aggregate, we've invested 33% of the dollars generated in urban renewal districts, exceeding the 30% floor. Those developments include projects like Bud Clark Commons, into which we invested over $29 million, Veterans Housing in South Waterfront, Block 49, our 11 by 13 campaign, where we've been preserving affordable housing downtown, even projects in Lentz, like the new homes that we heard about the other day from our friends at Habitat, received contributions of TIF to make that happen. A lot of people in our community that were priced out of the market today have a safe and decent place to call home because this resource was available. There's many people to thank. I would like to particularly thank the stakeholder committee that we pulled together, made up of advocates, folks within city government, including representatives from Mayor Adams's office, PDC, the Portland Housing Bureau and others, Portland Business Alliance, and other interested parties. They were charged with the assignment that council gave them in 2006, when the council, in adopting this set-aside, said in the fifth year, we are to do a review and make recommendations for any changes. And the core of their work is that they came to the consensus that we need to reaffirm our city's commitment to this tool going forward. We made some technical changes which reflect the new relationship between the Portland Housing Bureau and PDC. As you'll recall, this was first conceived when all the housing was done by the Portland Development Commission. That's now been separated out. Some core pieces, though, of the 30% set-aside have been reaffirmed. A 30% minimum calculated as an aggregate citywide minimum. Targets within districts, which are above and below 30% based on historical circumstances, and income guidelines, which once again reaffirm our commitment to meeting the needs of folks who are the most hit by current economy and the most likely to be cut out of the marketplace, which is people at the very bottom of the income ladder. A lot of work went into this, Mayor, and I appreciate the time that folks in your office and PDC took for us to get it right. As we look forward, this tool is going to be vital in meeting the unmet housing needs of our people. But I want to just close with a cautionary note. We are looking this year at pretty substantial cuts to our discretionary federal dollars, that's CDBG and HOME. We expect to see cuts at the state level and the county level. We have all begun an exercise of identifying cut packages of 4, 6, and 8% in general fund dependent bureaus. This is a very challenging time to be talking about cuts in our housing because we're simultaneously seeing a rising tide of need. And I think for many Portlanders, the events of the last 38 days in Chapman and Lounsdale brought them face to face with something that's often out of sight, out of mind. People camp throughout our city under bridges, in natural areas, and in places where they are invisible. But over 38 days, many people camped in our own backyard, and Portland got to see the significant challenge that we face every day in housing people, particularly chronically homeless people who are experiencing mental illness and drug and alcohol addiction. We have a lot of work to do, and yet this tool that we're reaffirming today and that has been so successful is about to hit a cliff. And it will substantially be reduced over the next 5 years. And that's not because of any nefarious part of this system. It is in part because of the success we've had. We've front-loaded a lot of dollars, and we're also sunsetting districts. So as we celebrate the first 5 years, and as I thank my colleagues for their leadership in conceiving and supporting this throughout the years, and as we acknowledge all the people whose lives have been positively impacted, I think we also need to recognize that TIF as a core component of our housing strategy is going to be a diminishing resource, and that will require us in the years ahead to think of a replacement if we're going to continue the momentum of building and preserving affordable homes for all of our people. I want to thank Margaret Van Vliet, who first undertook this project, and Tracy Manning, who brought it home, all my team members at the Portland Housing Bureau, particularly Danielle Ledesma and Kate Allen and others, and especially my colleagues for their stalwart support of our work. Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Again, thank you, Commissioner Fish, for a great report, very thorough, very transparent, and your continuing leadership. Aye. So approved. What does that get us to?
Yep.
That's it. All right, we're adjourned till 2 p.m.